our friend Esther, who's part of the student development staff, of what is happening in the country of India, in the state of Orissa. There has been much persecution going on, with many, many pastors chased from their churches, churches burned. The homes of hundreds and hundreds of believers have been burned in multiple villages in that state. And so for us to remember what is going on in other spots of our globe, and specifically to be praying for the believers in that part of India this morning. If you would, join me in prayer. Lord, we are thankful for how you meet us here, of your faithfulness, O God, and how we pray for your presence and your protection over those people who have said yes to following Christ in that place of Orissa in India. Lord, how we pray that your strong presence will be with them in these hours and in these days. God, we lift them up. Lord, we pray that you even give us words to pray and knowing how to intercede for our brothers and sisters that fall under regimes and fall and live in places where there is persecution for our faith in you. God, be with them. This morning, we pray for our time together. Lord, we pray for your words to come through Reverend Gaines as he comes to speak with us. Lord, in this place of worship, we ask that you transform us, Lord. Transform our minds and our hearts that we may be shaped more like your Son, more like Christ. For it's in his name that we ask these things together. Amen. Well, I want to introduce to you Reverend Richard Gaines, who is a pastor in Lexington. And what's fun about introducing him this morning is that he is a native Texan. And I wish I could say that I was smart enough to invite him, but there were other people smart enough to do that. He's from Tyler, Texas, attended Stephen F. Austin University, and received a bachelor's degree in marketing there. He spent 10 years in corporate America working for General Electric. Since then, he's been with Baptist churches in Missouri and Jeffersonstown, Kentucky. He received his MDiv from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. And for the last 12 years, Reverend Gaines has pastored Consolidated Baptist Church just up the road in Lexington, on the north side of Lexington now. His church has grown from 200 members when he began to over 1,400 members now. And there's been phenomenal spiritual growth because of the church's commitment to discipleship training and people being in discipleship. He has faithfully served his congregation and community. He's a board member of the AA Crisis Pregnancy Help Center, an executive board member of the Bluegrass Marriage Task Force. And as Reverend Gaines comes to be with us, his love for college students is evident. He has served as a trustee at Georgetown College and also a former trustee of Simmons College. He has one son who is a student at Lafayette High School, and we are thankful to have him with us this morning. If y'all will welcome Reverend Gaines.
Good morning. We greet you this early morning in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who is alive and well. We honor your president this morning. We also acknowledge administrative personnel, faculty members, and you, the student body of Asbury College. Again, I bring you greetings from the Consolidated Church on the north end of Lexington, where the sun always shines. Amen. I'm excited to be here. I'm about to perform a miracle in front of you here. I'm typically about 45 to 50 minutes on Sunday morning. I got about 25, so you get about half the sermon. So to get the rest of it, you're going to have to come to Lexington. But we're grateful to be here, and we thank God for the privilege and the opportunity to stand before you. And for all that had anything to do with my invitation, especially your president, we say thank you. And we want you to know that we're praying for you and your work here. For you all as a student body, we're praying for you that God would bless you in your time here. And I'm grateful to see my friend, Brother Baldry, who, if there's anybody on the planet that loves this college, it's this gentleman right here, he and his father and family. And so we're grateful to see him with us here this morning. So join me, if you will, for a moment of prayer. Dear God, hide this your servant behind the cross on yonder's hill that I be not seen nor heard. O God, empty me of me and fill me with thee. And dear God, out of the overflow, saturate the hearts of this your waiting people. Lord, for what you're about to do as your word goes out, I say thank you even now. Bless this your people. Bless this your servant. You take the glory, but please leave the blessing with us. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray and give thanks. And all the people of God together said, amen. I would invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Paul's letter to the church at Rome in chapter 12. We wish to read for you here in the first two verses. And I'll go ahead and tell you now, we're going to talk about transformational living. Transformational living. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When you arrive there, if you would let me know by the sign of amen. 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 If you need a moment, say hold up. Amen. Hold up. We'll give you a second. Amen. We want everybody to get there together. It reads as follows. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Such is the reading of the word of God. Transformed living. Transformed living. I began this morning with a series of questions. Why are you here at Asbury College? Why are you here? I want you to ask that question and just answer it in silence yourself. Why are you here at Asbury? For what reason have you come from across this country? I met a young man from Texas earlier, a long ways from here. Others are from Lexington and other states and all over Kentucky. But you need to know the reason that you've come to this place called Asbury College. What is it that you hope to accomplish while you're here? Did you come to find a husband? Did you come to find a wife? Maybe some of you came looking to be equipped that you might lead that Fortune 500 company as its next CEO. Maybe you came to prepare for a life as a missionary. I don't know, but we've come for different reasons to this place at this time. And the common thread that we share as students is that we are connected, is that we have come to Asbury College for such a time as this. And I believe that you're here not by accident, hook or crook, but you're here by the sovereign hand of Almighty God. How else would one find Wilmore, Kentucky? I mean, you don't just wake up and decide, I'm going to Wilmore. Even if you throw a dart, it's not on the map. So I'm convinced that you are here by the sovereign hand of God. And that's not all bad as far as small towns. There was another little town called Bethlehem that's famous all over the world. So never think that because you're in this small town, God can't do great things with you, in you, and through you while you're here. I'm convinced that you're here by the sovereign hand of God. And so while you're here, why not make the most of it? Why not make the best of your time together for the next 4 years for you that just arrived? And for those that have been around for a while, the next couple of years, or maybe you're senior and you're on your way out the door. But whatever it is, make the most of the time that you have left. And so as such, if we can agree that we're going to spend the next time that we have allotted to spend on this campus in this town, ask yourself, what is it that God wants you to do with that time? Time is a precious gift given of God. It's not something to be wasted, but it's to be redeemed, to be used in a way that honors and glorifies our God. I don't know why you're here, but since you're already here, let's make a decision right now from this moment on to redeem the time that we have as students of Asbury College. The world is waiting for you. If there was ever a time when God needed committed men and women who were sold out, it's right now. We heard the prayer about what's going on in India, and it grieved me. I literally just dropped my head and began to pray with him, because it grieved me to think that in parts of the world that to stand up and be a Christian is dangerous. But every day there are men and women just like you giving their very lives, losing their possessions. In some parts of the world, homes are desecrated or destroyed. People are dying. They're in prison. But God is still calling forth men and women like you. And I believe your coming to Asbury College is a season of preparation in your life. I believe that every minister, when he or she is called into ministry, that is a call to preparation. And I'm convinced that you are here for a time of preparation in your life. When I read the book of Romans, it is a great book. The gospel in its totality is in the book of Romans. Paul writes this letter to the church at Rome, and he spends 11 chapters telling them about their pitiful, poor condition. For 11 chapters, he tells them about the grace and the mercy and the sovereignty of God. For 11 chapters, he tells us how much we need God. After 11 chapters, and only then does he finally ask us to do anything. He says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. For this is your reasonable act of service. Can we unpack that for just a few minutes? Paul writes this church after telling them of their condition historically and how God has made a way for them to be put back in the right relationship with God. He then gives them the order, makes the request, I beseech. That literally means to come alongside. Paul literally is coming alongside of them, pleading with them, begging them, making requests of them that they present their bodies a living sacrifice. Paul, in essence, in country boy language, is saying to them, I'm not afraid or ashamed to beg. Paul is saying, I realize the condition that you're in. I know you're saved and sanctified, but the record shows me that you're not yet full of the Holy Spirit. And as such, you're giving indications sometimes that you're a child of God, but at other times you are masquerading, but coming off not as being Christ-like. Anybody ever have that problem? You want to do right, but something causes you to do wrong? Anybody besides me ever deal with that? You want to say the right thing, but you don't feel like saying the right thing. You want to do the right thing, but something within just won't let you. It's that struggle Paul talked about, this same Apostle Paul, that reminds us that though I'm not who I used to be, I'm not yet who I shall be. And as long as I'm housed in this flesh, there's going to be a struggle within. Paul put it this way, when I would do good, evil was all around me. That which I ought do, I find myself not doing. And that which I shouldn't do, that I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me save Christ Jesus? The only hope we have is to do what Paul says here in chapter 12, and that is to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, and you to do it by the mercies of God. What is that? What are the mercies of God? Well, one writer put it this way. He says, the mercies of God is God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. And mercy keeps from us which we deserve. And I'm glad that about that. I'm a mercy case. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a mercy case. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Thank God for divine conjunctions like but. But the gift of God is eternal life. I'm a grace and mercy case, not ashamed of it, but I'm glad about it. And if you're honest with yourself, you too are a grace case and a mercy case. But God still loves you, and God still wants you to join him as a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. He says, by the mercies of God, I ask you to present your bodies. And I can see the wheels in your mind turning now saying, I gave him my mind. The text says your body. I gave him my heart. The Bible says, give him your body. Why does a sovereign, omnipresent God need my body? Because God needs some folk to display his glory. And God has chosen you. He didn't choose a dog. He didn't choose a cat. He didn't choose a cow. He chose humanity, the greatest, the pinnacle of his creation. He chose us to be co-laborers with him. And Paul says, give him your body. And it is the reference is to your physical body. The Greek word is suma, your physical body. Give him your body that you might be a living sacrifice. Let me see if I can demonstrate this. Have you ever noticed a glove when it's just lying down? It does absolutely nothing. It has a purpose, but it's just lying down. But when you insert your hand into the glove, how animated it becomes, how it takes on a life of itself, and whatever inside of the glove does, that's what the glove does. Gives indication to what's going on the inside. But God is looking to fit into your life as a hand and a glove. Okay, maybe I'm not hearing this. Let me try another way. Anybody ever remember the movie Body Snatchers? I'm dating myself now. I'm 50. I go to tell you. But at Body Snatchers, that was these aliens present that came and they took control of earthly beings, and these earthly beings began to do what those alien beings were doing through them. You didn't see the alien, but you saw the alien's activities through the body. God wants to snatch up some bodies this morning. I think that was a little more clear. God wants to use you, but he loves you so he doesn't just snatch you. He doesn't kick the door of your heart down. He stands at the door and knocks gently and says, if you'll let him in, he'll come in and sup with you and you with him. And the thing I like about that is he comes in as host, as guest, but instantaneously upon entrance, he becomes the host. And that puts him in charge of taking care of everything. And that includes all your needs. Paul says, I plead with you, I beg you, I exhort you to present your bodies voluntarily as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. When you give your body to God, you don't then have an option of giving it to somebody else. Got quiet. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You cannot give it away anywhere, anytime to anybody. I know we live in a day and time of moral relativism and situational ethics, but the word of God has not changed. And while you're here this morning, I want to remind you that God's standard has not been lowered because you're an adult now. Everybody's doing it does not give you the right to do it. That's a lie, by the way. Everybody's not doing it. When you give God your body, you're saying, God, I'm yours. Use me any way you choose. I do a lot of weddings, and oftentimes when the bride and the groom stand and I say, who gives this woman? And the wife to be comes to give herself to the husband. And oftentimes all of them is not there because they've given themselves away to other folk along the way. And they miss the joy of the purity of a husband and wife as God has intended it to be. And I want to challenge you today to save yourself for God and whoever God has for you. I can't hear. I'm just a preacher. I have to say what I have to say. Because I believe that it's the truth of God's word that will set us free. And while here, God wants to transform your life that he might use you as a transforming agent in the lives of other people. Present your body holy and acceptable unto God. This word holy literally means that you've been set apart for a holy purpose. God has saved you. He wants to save you and set you apart. You will remain in the world, but you are no longer of the world. Please hear me today, because we have a tendency to want to take the path of least resistance. We want to go along to get along. We want to fit in. But I declare that God is calling you to draw a line in the sands of time and declare that for God I will live and God I will die. I won't meander at the pool of mediocrity. I won't make a deal with the devil. I will not go along to get along. I will not give myself to persons that I ought not give myself to, because I belong to God. God has paid a hefty price for you. Jesus shed his blood for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ, God demonstrated his love toward us in that Christ died. You are valuable. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not an accident. You're not an afterthought. You didn't crawl up out of the ocean and evolve into the person that evolutionists would tell you you are. No, you are made in the image of God. And that makes you special. So don't wait for some knucklehead, young ladies, to tell you you're special to feel good about yourself. I don't have time to get that, but know that. Know that, holy, acceptable God. And this, Paul says, is your reasonable service. Other translations say, this is your reasonable act of worship. And I like that translation. Your reasonable act of worship, to give your body to God. Paul, in essence, says, when you look at what God has done for you, when you look at what God has provided from you, it's only reasonable that you give him your body. And when you do that, that is your act of worship. Your act of worship, that word worship, if you divide it, you get worth-ship. Worship, it's ascribing worth to God. It's your value that you place on God. That's your worship. It's more than Sunday morning this and waving hands this. It's more than just a holy dance. It's your lifestyle. 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's your lifestyle. Your lifestyle speaks volumes to the value you place on God. That is your reasonable act of worship. You know, one of the greatest dangers of the church, in the church, is not the folk outside the church, but us that are in the church. When we misrepresent God, when we live like heathen all week, and then come to the sanctuary on Wednesday night, Sunday, and do what we do, and go back and do what we do all week long. We don't expect the world to act any different. But the world does expect us to be different. And they are checking you out closer than you think. They'll play with you, they'll lay with you, and then they'll call you a hypocrite. Because you claim you know the Lord and you love the Lord. But Jesus says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. How will the world know that you are his disciples? By how you show love one for another. Not how I talk, but how I walk. A friend of mine says, our audio and our video ought to match if we're who we claim we are as children of the Most High God. That's the word for the day. It's got to go together. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, after you give him your body and you're holy and acceptable to him, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is my demonstration for being conformed to the ways of the world. And the ways of the world literally can be translated the ways of this age, this society in which we live, how they think, how they behave. He says, don't be conformed to that image. Don't be pressed into that image. I know this water originally wasn't in this container, but when it was poured into this container, it took on the shape of this container. And if we're not careful, we'll allow the world to press us into its shape as this container pressed the water into its shape. It didn't come like this, but that's the way it is because that's the container that it's in. How often have you felt the world pressing in on you on every side? Saying, come on with us, do like us, fit in, don't disturb the peace. Just come on and go along and be with us and everything's going to be all right. Paul says, do not do that. Don't be conformed to the ways of this world. We are the church. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are not supposed to fit in. So when folk talk about you and say he or she thinks he is a holy roller or whatever they call you as a child of God, take it as a badge of honor and wear it with some healthy pride. You're not supposed to fit in. You're not supposed to look like the world. You're not supposed to act like the world because you don't believe like the world. You ought to be different. You're the sixth finger on a five-fingered hand. You're the light in dark places. You're different, and it's okay. We are afraid to be alone. But with God, you're never alone because he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You've got to know God's word and God's promises to you. Be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the word transformed literally means, it's that Greek word we get the English word metamorphosis from. A larva that gets wrapped in a cocoon, but comes out as a beautiful butterfly. God says, what I want to do in you is not an external work, conforming, but it's an internal work. I want to change your heart on the inside, and the change works its way to the outside that everybody can see that you're not who you used to be. You've gone through a process. Metamorphosis for us that follow Jesus Christ means that our lives have been changed. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. That's how we know and the world knows you and I are new creatures in Christ. We don't look the same.
I'm 50 years old. In 1976, 32 years ago, I enrolled at Stephen F. Austin State University on a football scholarship. Lost my ever-loving mind. That's why I can tell you I'm a grace case. Lost my mind. Got down there playing ball, joined the fraternity, lost my mind, discovered women. That's a whole nother issue. Picked up foul language. Had not been raised that way. But that was the crowd that I hung with, President. And God had to do a work in my heart to get me back on track. I've got friends that I hung out with, drank with, cursed with, acted a fool with. We've said ashes to ashes and dust to dust over them. But for some reason, God left me here, not because I was better than them, not because he loved me more than them. I'm a grace case, I tell you. I know what it means to get off track and God reach out and take hold of you and transform your life and give you another chance. I tell Consolidated, I'm glad God doesn't hook a monitor up to my mind and run it on the screen on Sunday and run my past life. I'd get run out of the church. But because of his grace and his mercy and a transformed heart and a transformed life, I'm not afraid of the past showing up. I don't mind telling you where God has brought me from, because I know where God has taken me to. And in the process, I can tell dying men and women like you that God's grace is sufficient, that he loves you, that Jesus died for you, and that he has a plan for your life. And for the next period of time that you have here at Asbury College, use that time to allow God to minister to you. Use that time to allow God to transform your heart, because there are millions of people, hundreds of millions around the globe who are dying every day that don't know Jesus in the pardon of their sins. And they are waiting for you to come and tell them about the love of God. They're waiting for you in corporate rooms and boardrooms and churches all over this nation to remind them that God is faithful. And God is waiting for you to say, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a Sunday school teacher. But wherever you find the people of God, there you find the church. In the corner grocery, you get to share the gospel. And you may never say a word, but just how you behave, just how you carry yourself. In the classroom on this campus, if your campus is like mine was, there are always hurting people around that need a word of encouragement to know that God cares. When the papers are high and the tests are overwhelming you, somebody needs to be there to say, God will. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. And you need to know that Asbury Seminary, Asbury College, I say again, is the place where God has brought you to for such a time as this. The question is, will you submit yourself to God while you're here and allow him to pour into you his love, his knowledge, and his word? If you will do that, history shall record that the persons that were here in 2008 went out and touched the world and made a difference. I want to challenge you not to seek success in life, but to seek significance. Success is fleeting, but significance lasts. What you want to do is establish a spiritual legacy that when it comes time to press a dying pillow, you have no regrets, no if I could have, would have, should have. But you will be able to say, God, I gave it my best. And ultimately, you look forward to hearing him say of your life, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now come on up a little higher, and I'll make you rule over many. 17 years ago, God took me out of corporate America, making good money, traveling all over the country, get paid well to do it. And I've never looked back, had no regrets, from success to significance. Don't waste time. One, tomorrow's not promised, and it's too precious. It's a jewel that you can't afford to waste. Make the best of your time here, because it's going to go by quickly. In a short while, I pray that you'll be able to look back and say, it was there while I was at Asbury that I prepared for the rest of my life. Till then, I encourage you to pray on, to work on, to press on, and believe that you're here by the sovereign hand of God. So when you feel like giving up, you can remind yourself, you can encourage yourself by simply saying, God brought me here, and God, while I'm here, I'm going to get everything you have for me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you, God, for this people known as Asbury College. We thank you for this time and this place. And God, we just thank you for this high and holy occasion when your people have gathered together. I pray, God, that as your word has gone out, it has touched, challenged, and at the same time encouraged someone's heart. Help us, oh God, to truly embrace transformed living by allowing you to transform our lives. Lord, we pray for the president of this institution, all of her faculty, and especially her student body today, that they might be encouraged to reach beyond where they've ever gone before. And, oh God, as we prepare to go down from this place and leave one another, remind us, oh God, that we never leave your presence, that with your presence we get your power, and with your power all things become possible. Bless now. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray and give thanks. And all the people of God together said, amen. God bless you, and I'm told I am to dismiss you as well.